Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network, 184 stations across the country, American Family Radio. And we are back on in Victoria, Texas. Praise the Lord. Appreciate everybody listening who listened to our Victoria station. We've been off the air since Hurricane Harvey came through. I think the wind damaged the tower site there. Mm-hmm. But we're back on. Took out some stations off in Florida and Georgia. And I think Jacksonville, Florida is off the air.
It is.
Because of the
power outage.
Power outage. So a lot of places still without power in Georgia and Florida. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Walker, what are we doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, we're live streaming there. A lot of folks are commenting on the show, on the topics we're discussing, and I've posted.
Are they all agreeing with Tim?
Yes. Everyone agrees with Tim.
Well, then they can stay.
Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, you don't block those people, Walker. Let them stay.
Okay. I'll let them stay.
Okay.
What about the folks who dissent?
With me?
Yeah.
They're gone. They're gone.
Hey, block all those people, Walker. Block them all. Right now, block them all.
And I posted all the news stories that Fred talked about.
You disagree with me, you're wrong.
That seems fair. I mean, you're the head guy, right?
I mean, that's what Antifa does. I mean, you agree with them. Get out of here.
For those who, for you literalists out there, I'm using satire to make a point. If you want to disagree with me, as long as it's civil and you don't get too much into name calling me on me, then
too much
yeah, like that.
Just then, a few names are okay.
Yeah then go for it. Tell me how I'm wrong, and I'd be glad to read those tonight when I get home. I can't read them right now. Steve Jordahl is with us, as well as Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray's in Dallas. Walker, Steve, and I, or me, however you say that, I don't have time to get it right or to know exactly, or here in studio. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning. Good morning, Ray, and Walker.
Tell us, first of all, we are proud of our news organization here at AFR. It's called One News Now. Why should everybody go there?
That's because all of the news you want to know about from a biblical perspective is at your fingertips at onenewsnow.com or at the top of the hour on this very radio station. You can hear us live. Well, some of our reports are live. Some of them are recorded. But
Dead.
All the news that's fit to hear is One News Now. No, we got some great reporters and good columnists and a lot of information that you might not hear about on the mainstream media.
OneNewsNow.com. Absolutely. What's in the news, Steve Jordahl?
Boy, the West is burning. No one's everybody's kind of focused on Florida and Houston for good reason, but do you know that more than a million acres have burned in Montana? That's approximately 17,000 square miles, twice the size of New Jersey. And they just don't seem to be able to get a handle on the fires out west. Every year there are fires out there, but particularly bad this year. According to the one source I have here, the two main factors at play are drought and the federal forest policies, which are making it hard to clear and get those things taken care of. But that's from the think tank that I'm talking to. But
is this unusual, or don't we have forest fires every year out west?
Yeah, these are particularly bad, particularly big. You don't usually hear about them. You hear about them in California, Arizona a lot. Montana, I don't generally, I mean, they happen. There's a lot of empty space up in Montana, so a lot of times there's nothing to tell other than there's a bunch of elk out of their home.
Is that sometimes good, though? Is it sometimes good for...
Fire is a natural cleansing agent for the forest. So what happens is it clears out all the old dead underbrush and everything, and eventually you get nice, green, fresh stuff that grows up, and it helps fertilize the ground. It's just a tough way to go if you're a rancher or have a home up there. It's you don't necessarily not nice to have your home be part of the fertilizer of the ground.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I know by my home, I live near the Natchez Trace Parkway, which is a federal parkway, and they come in maybe once a year and do a controlled fire where they, like you said, clean out all the underbrush. So in that case, it could be good. A fire could be good. But it's when you have homes involved and it's right. out of control.
Even those fires eventually are beneficial to the environment, just not to the people that settled on them.
Right.
Ray, you ever seen a wildfire?
I have not, but my wife is right now up in Missoula, Montana, because our middle son pastors a church there. And this topic we're talking about is very real to them. They've had 35 forest fires around. Missoula's kind of in a bowl. And I've seen the pictures our son has posted that not just smoke, but smoke and haze for so many miles. At one point, a few days ago, the air quality there was equal to the air quality in Beijing, China, which basically is about the worst air in the whole world.
Wow.
So it's been 30, this has been the worst spate of forest fires in Montana in over 30 years. And for exactly the reason Steve said, it's extreme, no rain at all. And these forest policies, so they just let them burn and let them burn. And it's been a huge threat to people in the Missoula and the western part of Montana. Now, they're getting some rain today, and that may be the one thing that's going to help.
All right. Well, we certainly...
We had two forest fires in Colorado Springs, big ones when I was living there, and went through both of those as a reporter. Just devastating. Just mm-hmm. devastating. The Black Forest Fire, and that was the second one. And I can't remember what the name of the first one for some reason, but I remember I was working at Focus on the Family at the time, and I was on our balcony looking out at the hills, and you could see the fire just marching down toward the neighborhood.
Hmm.
And you just knew. And
what did you do?
Well, I reported.
But did I mean? Did you have to leave?
No, I was several miles away, but we had a good view of the march of the flames. Hmm. It didn't threaten Focus or
if
my
you
house.
Go there today. How long ago was that?
It was about 2010, 2011.
If you go there today, can you still see the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know it. I flew over it about a year and a half or 2 years after it. I went up in a Colorado Air National Guard plane to do... It was the story I was doing. We flew over the burn scar, and you can tell it's because it's bright green now as opposed to the forest green that the older forest is around it. But, yeah, it's growing back. It does grow back, but it leaves a mark.
Today's issue is the name of the program. Steve Jordahl with us. What's next?
We have another terrorist attack, or as the media likes to say, an apparent or an alleged terrorist attack in France, in Toulouse, France.
Yesterday,
this is a gentleman, a terrorist, who came up and shouted "Allah Akbar" and started stabbing people. Seven people were wounded, and I tell you the chilling thing. One father told the French newspaper La Depeche that his children had been attacked. We were talking and he jumped on us. He first caught my son and then beat my daughter. We ran. I'm assuming he gathered his children and he ran. But Toulouse has seen Islamist terrorist attacks in the past. In 2012, they went through one. A guy murdered three children and a rabbi at a Jewish day school there. So
right,
no
why
strangers
do they,
to it.
Why do these people... who commit these jihadis, why do they yell Allah Akbar?
Which means God is great.
That's Arabic.
That's
for God
right.
is great.
Right.
Why do they yell that? And secondly, why do they just stab random people who, I mean, usually if you get angry about, there's a motive for something, you know, you're angry. You have a domestic dispute because you're mad at your ex-wife, so you go over there and you shoot her or something.
Hopefully you don't.
But right. I mean, we read about these kinds of things. You have gang warfare. Gangs get into fights with each other. They're after turf and money and everything like that. So there's a lot of horrible things that we understand sinful man does in the world, but there's usually some kind of motive where you go, oh yeah, they did that because with these jihadis, Allah Akbar and stabbing innocent people on a bus or whatever. What is the motivation for these people?
Well, let me make 3 points. First of all, Tim, by shouting Allahu Akbar, they're making it very clear who they are, what they're doing. They're saying, I'm doing this in the name of my religion, and I am not ashamed of it. So they're not trying to commit these crimes and then run away. They are doing it in the name of the religion, which is the second point, that according to their literal reading of the Quran, they're obeying what their religion says. Now, we understand not all Muslims do this, but just a fair reading of the Quran, a literal reading, would give them, they think, the justification to do this. And third, they believe by doing this that they are trying to create panic and terror, destabilization of society, so they can advance their aims of overthrowing society and doing, they would do worse if they could. They would do worse.
Yeah. Islamic teachings are to rule by intimidation and fear. And you see that not just in radical Islam or the strict interpretation of Islam. You see that in villages in Africa where they physically punish women who break the teachings of Islam or Sharia law. And so this is not a minor problem within a wider religion. This is pretty widespread, and it's often not talked about.
If you think about how, be very, very careful how I say this, and please clean up my mess here, but you know how we sometimes think about, we get a little upset that the government, maybe under a foreign or under a party we don't agree with, does things we don't agree with, and we don't like that. It's that on steroids, because the West, in the view of Islam, is ungodly and needs to be corrected. And according to the Quran, literally, as you're reading it, as Ray said, the way they go clean this up is to go kill people. Hmm. And
what other religion teaches that?
I don't know.
Of a major one? I don't know.
I don't think there's another major religion that
Christianity
teaches that.
Doesn't. Judaism doesn't. Hindu, Buddhism, do they teach killing innocent people?
Buddhism certainly doesn't.
No, but there are some radical members of the Hindu.
Radical Buddhist.
Buddhist, I guess, that they do. And, of course, if you want to get into the offshoot, like sacrifices, human sacrifices with some of the
But we're talking a billion people right here.
Yeah, no.
Islam.
Oh, yeah.
Follow Islam.
And the scary thing is that it's not only that there's a billion people that follow it, even a small percentage of that is a lot of people, a small percentage who are radicalized to the point where they're willing to do something violent. A small percentage of a billion people is a lot of people. But they control entire nations. In the 1040 window, the government literally sanctions and pays for some of this terror activity.
Right.
So,
But ultimately, then we can move on. But ultimately, when you ask yourself, why do these people do things that seem irrational to us, it's rational to them if they think killing innocent, what we call innocent people, they would call infidels, is pleasing to their God, which they call Allah, which is the God of the Quran.
Right.
So if they take out five Christians or people who are non-Muslims like or don't believe in Islam like they do, these people think that I've just scored points with Allah, therefore I'll get a good place in paradise when I die.
Right.
And better for me, if I'm shot here by an American soldier or a British police officer, that way I die a martyr and I go straight to heaven or paradise with the 70 virgins. If you're a male, I don't know what females get out of the deal if they do the same thing. But there is... while it seemingly doesn't make sense on its face, it does make sense in their minds because of the reasons I just said. Is that right, Ray?
Well, you know, just the other day, 9/11, and I spent several hours watching those, you know, the horrifying videos and the timeline. Whatever else you want to say, those people who put that together, that 18 or 19 people who brought down the World Trade Center, hit the Pentagon, almost hit the Capitol, they were not acting irrationally according to their own beliefs.
Right.
They were not crazy. They were not mentally insane. Mm-hmm. They were acting rationally. And basically, we would say the same for all the terrorists since then, all the way down to yesterday, which makes this a terrifying reality. We're underselling them and underestimating them if we go, oh, they're just crazy.
Right.
No, they're not crazy. They are rational actors who are acting according to a certain set of beliefs, which means we're going to have to find them and stop them. And in many cases, we're going to have to kill them or they're going to kill us.
You know, that reminds me, I had a conversation 3 or 4 years ago when it was just every couple of months we were having Islamic jihadi attacks here in the U.S., Chattanooga, San Bernardino. Right. You could go on and on about that. I mean, there was just one every month or two we were having them. And remember, because President Obama would never say Islamic extremism or Islamic terrorism. He would never say it. Remember that? We had that
right.
conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a friend of mine who was, I would consider to be a political moderate, not really conservative, not really liberal, but he was a friend of mine. And I had a back and forth with him via email, and he objected to, he thought that we were accusing unfairly, calling Muslims.
Right.
So he sort of shared the sentiment that President Obama would express. But anyway, I said, so you think, I know what it was. It was about those brothers up in Boston, the marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Tsarnaev brothers.
They were jihadis, as mm-hmm. it turns out. In other words, they thought they were pleasing Allah. Well, I said, this fellow I'm talking about, this friend of mine, he thought that they were crazy. Okay, that's what he would say. They're just nut jobs, talking about the brothers
right.
up there. So I asked him, I said, I don't think they're nut jobs.
No.
They're not. We're confusing people who are genuinely mentally ill who do things that are crazy because the person is insane, for example. With these jihadis, they're, as Ray just talked about, they're not insane. They're perfectly intelligent people who plot and plan and carry out their evil deeds precisely. So they know what they're doing. That's the reason so many of them hide. And remember, you know how many times you read about a jihadi, and then after they'll interview their neighbors and go, he was just the nicest guy. You'd have never been able to tell.
Right.
You hear that over and over and over again. That's because they're deceiving people so that they can carry out their ultimate evil deed. But anyway, I kind of backed this guy in the corner. I said, so you're telling me you had two crazy brothers at one time who plotted all this, but they're insane. They're nuts. They're nut jobs.
Right.
So he didn't know how to answer that.
The thing with that argument is it puts it all on their mental state, which you can't really argue because they didn't take
exams.
Then
you don't have to argue the religion.
Right. So then you don't even talk about the ideology behind the attack. It's all they're crazy.
Right.
They're lone wolves. Nobody likes that, you know.
Well, they are crazy in a generic type of use of the word.
I think the word you're looking for may be evil.
It's just evil.
That's what I said.
Right.
Because
just evil.
Because
right.
that's the difference. Someone that's crazy has a mental illness. Technically, you might be able to say that someone who commits a crime has a mental illness may not be culpable or guilty in
right.
because of insanity
or
mental illness.
People plead insanity sometimes.
Right.
But evil is knowing it's wrong.
And doing
and
it
still
anyway.
Doing it.
Yeah.
And plotting and planning.
Right.
That's where I asked the guy, I said, so you're telling me ISIS is just a bunch of nuts, a convention of nuts from around the world that gathered together?
A well-organized group.
Right, right.
No.
Highly trained.
So
brilliant.
What it is those people who subscribe to President Obama's view of this, they don't know how to reconcile. They don't know what to do with Islamic teaching of jihad. They think they're going to offend all the Muslims. They don't want to do that, so they just don't talk about it, or they blame it on people being crazy or nut jobs. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next up, Steve Jordahl.
I want to acknowledge this hero, and this is in context of a sad story, but there was a school shooting near Spokane yesterday, and it was at Freeman High School. And a young kid, a high school kid named Caleb Sharp, came to school with a rifle and a pistol and started shooting. The first gun, I don't know whether it was the rifle or the pistol, but the first one jammed, and he went to the second one. And another student, whose name was Sam Strahan, walked up to him, tried to talk him out of doing this. Sam Strahan, it turns out, was the best friend of the shooter. The shooter shot his best friend and killed him. He was trying to stop the shooting, by reasonable means, by talking him out of it. And then a janitor who is yet to be named came and subdued the gunman. Three other kids, freshman girls, were hurt rather seriously, but they're all in stable condition.
Were they shot?
They were I don't know where on their bodies they were shot.
Oh, so but that's how they were injured?
They were shot. Okay. They were injured by shooting.
Gotcha.
And they were taken to the hospital. They're recovering. But this janitor and this Sam Strahan are heroes for stopping what could have been another Columbine or worse. Mm. As it is, it was another Columbine in that it killed a student, but not to the same extent. Again, we talk about crazy. They're finding out about this kid. They should have known there's going to be some investigations. Apparently, he brought a note to school at the beginning of the year saying he was going to do something stupid and might be jailed or killed. Hmm. Now, this was a month ago he brought this note to school. Now, if you're a school administrator and a kid hands you a note that says, I might do something stupid this year that'll get me killed or jailed, the first thing you do, I suppose, is you get some help for the kid or at least get him off campus or right. I don't know. They are at this point, they are investigating who had the note, the information, and what they did with it. But it was a tragic situation with some – when the worst of humanity comes out, sometimes the best of humanity comes out.
Yes, sir. Agreed. What's next? You got 2 minutes.
How about something from Snowflake Files?
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
You know that our friend, I don't know, did you hear that, I think you might have talked about this, that that Ben Shapiro is going to be going to Cal?
Mm-hmm. Tonight, right?
Right. Well, did you know that Cal, this is the note they sent out to the students and faculty, we are deeply concerned about the impact some speakers may have on individuals' sense of safety and belonging. No one should be made to feel threatened or harassed simply because of who they are or what they believe. For that reason, the following support services are being offered and encouraged. And they have a whole list of counselors and safe spaces.
You're making this up.
I am not. And by the way, notice they're worried about, deeply concerned about the impact of the speakers. They don't seem to be so deeply worried about the impact of the Antifa people that are promising
right.
to show up
yeah.
and beat up the mm-hmm. people that are coming to hear the speaker. The police have said that they will engage a little bit more than they
you
have
You
want to
talk
past,
about but, fascism? This is what the left accuses
right.
the right of being in the country. Fascism is shutting down all dissenting views by force or by terrorist activity if you have
right.
to. That's what these Antifa people are doing.
Yeah.
These are the fascists, the ones who say they're attacking the Nazis.
Go look at a good documentary of Germany in the late 1930s when the brown shirts were in the business of going and breaking up opposition political parties. And you
yeah.
will not be able to tell, except for the fact it's in grainy black and white and they may be dressed a little differently, you will not be able to tell the difference between
yeah.
them and Antifa.
My quick view of this is, if you want to know what a liberal utopia is like, a liberal utopia, go out to California and you get thrown a bottle at your head because you're a conservative. Do we want
you don't
kind
even
of
have to be conservative, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
Or go to Venezuela. Look how they're doing down there.
Right.
All right, Ray, thanks so much for being on with us today, brother.
Thank you, Tim.
Walker?
Yes, sir.
I'm assuming you've done an excellent job on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
I think I've done a great job.
Is that a safe assumption?
That's
you think
a,
you
that's
have? You had to grade yourself. You give yourself an A?
A plus.
Whoa. Boom. Boom.
Well, man.
And an A plus in humility.
Well. That's right.
All right, Steve Jordoff, thanks for your contributions.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you back here then.